the HTB podcast. Subscribe now so you don't miss future episodes.
Welcome to the HTB podcast. This is our second coronavirus episode from the potatoes team, and today we're going to take a more in-depth look at the potato markets and also how the lockdown is affecting our services to you. I'm Jimmy Phillips. My guest this week will be our sector chair, Dr. Sophie Churchill, Aidan Wright from our market intelligence team, Stu Baker from our consumer marketing team, Sue Cowgill from our research team, and Amber Barton from our knowledge exchange team. Between us, we'll be taking you through everything HTB Potatoes is doing to support you and how our services have been affected. Our first guest on today's podcast is Dr. Sophie Churchill, the chair of the HTB Potatoes board and a member of the main board at HTB. Sophie, it's been a really strange few weeks, to say the least. We're recording this the day before Good Friday. What are your reflections on the situation?
Thanks, Jim. It certainly is a time to try things differently, working in different ways. And it just seems to be different layers. You know, so one day, maybe I'm attending my first remote funeral and experiencing that and thinking that's great that technology is working for that, but it isn't the same. But then you have a wonderful business meeting on Teams or Zoom, and it seems as good as anything, and people are really focused. So it's quite a confusing time. Within HTB, what I've seen is a real pulling together, and we're seeing sort of similar things across the different sectors. You can't miraculously get everybody consuming as much as they might have done when they were eating and drinking out, but we're working across all those issues at HTB. Some of the information that we use is obviously people ring us up, and we hear it from colleagues or meetings, but then there is the depth insights that HTB actually buys from the professionals in that field. So a bit of the levy goes to get insight on what consumers are buying and eating in a way that you can't get anecdotally. So in the normal run of things, some of that we would have been buying monthly, but at the moment we need that more detailed, quicker, faster, so that we can track that and get that out quickly into our website and elsewhere, and help shape our campaigns during this time. So there's some insights on meals and the forms of potatoes that people are eating, which we're now buying weekly. And that helps us to make, you know, intelligent choices on what we do. The money that we might not go in one place this year because there's a few things we can't do, but we'll big it up somewhere else so that we're well equipped to support people.
So what are the aims of the HTB Potatoes Board?
The HTB Potatoes Board always wants to support the industry into the long term. So it might be that we get out recipes that we think are going to be particularly suitable for where we are now. Some of it is working with other people, NFU and others. And then there are some things that the board is taking direct responsibility for, to make sure that the market intelligence, the data on what the market's doing, that consumers are doing, that basic information that can help people really see what their businesses are facing, that is as sharp as it can be. And we've been doing that in the last week pretty intensively on chipping, and we'll carry on doing that in other bits of the sector. We'll also, on the podcast, we'll be talking about the business as usual and the things that we just carry on doing, because coming to a new season and we need to know what we can about blight, even if we can't do direct genotyping in the way that we did last year. So the board will want to be sure that business as usual is going on as well as possible. And then certainly our colleagues who we'd otherwise see at events and on the spot farms, they're not twiddling their thumbs. They're doing all the planning, all the work to make sure we get a great programme together as soon as we can be back out there.
As you say, we're going to hear from some of the people from the teams across HTB later in the podcast. As a board, and when you're working with Rob, how do you decide which parts of the industry HTB can support, and how are those decisions made?
So if you're looking at a year like this, and you're looking at the different parts of the industry, the different types of crop that we've got, one of the strengths of the board is that we do have people who come from all those different parts, whether it's seed or salad or mainware, or if it's processing, and they stand together. It might be that for the moment, some people are doing pretty well. There might be other people who right now are having a really difficult time. So if a grower is heavily into the chipping market, these are big businesses, they're big turnover, and right now they're staring, you know, down the barrel of a gun, many of them. We can't suddenly, HTB, NFU, nobody can suddenly create demand where there isn't at the scale that's needed. However, if there's anything we can do to give the evidence that a certain level of CIPC in chipping potatoes be an issue for packing, then we promote that. If we can provide any more platforms for people to trade that they haven't had before, we'll look at that. We would support the NFU in making sure that chip shop owners know that they can operate as a takeaway if they do that safely. So we decide what practical things we can do at any one time, but we always have an eye on, well, what's going to happen next in 6 months' time? Where else might it be? Salads might not have a great time because people aren't perhaps buying potatoes in small bags. So what does that mean about recipes, about what else we can do there? And then, of course, some things we absolutely understand the challenges, for example, that McCain might be having with the processing side, with many of the outlets not open at the moment. We can't skew the market. We can't go in there and make all that different. However, anything we can do to provide the information, provide encouragement to consumers to buy and consume potatoes that are right for their situation, we just keep doing that. It needs to be checked about whether it is something that HDB can and should do, and is it practical to do, and real world as well. Sometimes it's, have we got the money to do it? But it's always about, will this really help the industry through the challenges at this time?
Okay, thanks for that, Sophie. I mean, you rightly said we've got a range of experiences and people providing input on the board, and we covered last week that Rob's on a group with representatives from all parts of the industry. We've got MI working groups, so we've got information coming into us all the time. What other issues are you hearing across the sectors and across agriculture?
I think we're all sharing this issue that you can't miraculously transfer to the home the food that you'd otherwise eat when you're out. And we all wish that was the case, but there are going to be some parts of UK agriculture that are going to land more easily in the home this time and others that aren't. Additionally, for all of us, I think this is a shared concern, but our colleagues in horticulture, particularly up there on labour, and there's fantastic efforts now to bring new people in, but the numbers needed are massive. So I wish our colleagues there all the best with Feed the Nation. And obviously many of us are nervous about transport, haulage, if it became impossible to run those businesses competitively, because they do need to run with full trucks either way, and they do need the staff to drive them. You know, that is another area of concern. But so far in the potato sector, it's brilliant to see the packhouse managers, that all the companies that always try and look after their teams very well, they are getting prepared for protecting their staff as much as possible.
Thank you, Sophie. And we appreciate you coming on and talking about things that often live issues, and there's action going on behind the scenes that by the time this is released on Tuesday, we may have more to say. That's not always easy. We covered last week that we are meeting with NFU, with Fresh Potato Suppliers Association, Potato Processors Association, with lots of people that have got roots into government, and there'll be plenty of people listening to this that aren't on our committees or on our working groups that might have very strong opinions, and we do want to hear from them. How can they get in touch with us?
I think that's a really helpful thing just to keep saying to everybody, Jimmy, that we're always open for whatever the issues are on people's minds and people's businesses. And, you know, just get in touch into HDB. You get plenty of material from us. But in times of emergency, in times of crisis, over-communication is good. We're not in normal times. So I would email, pick up the phone, don't just wait for things to happen, and hold us to account. Let's have the conversation about it, and let's say why we can do some things and why we do other things as well. I always welcome that.
Thank you, Sophie. We really appreciate you joining us. And all of those contact details that you mentioned can be found at ahdb.org.uk/potatoes. Sophie, thanks again.
Thank you very much. And I wish everybody the very best in the weeks to come. Thanks, Jimmy.
Joined by Aidan Wright from our market intelligence team and Stu Baker from our consumer marketing team. Aidan, I'm going to start with you. Big piece of work from you guys this week on the volume of potatoes that's still in store for the fresh chipping market.
The head of our team, David Udall, has done some work extrapolating some of the existing stocks data that we have from previous years to come up with an estimate of what would be left in store for mid-March. So normally, we use around 20,000 tonnes on a weekly basis from January to March. And if we take a six-week total, we can estimate that around 120,000 tonnes is moved from stores. That leaves a balance of mid-March at around 188,000 tonnes. However, due to the closures caused by the coronavirus, and the issues which are ongoing within the sector, a lot of fish and chip shops have shut. While some are now exploring delivery options and some are reopening where it's safe to do so, we've seen a very large-scale dip in terms of chip shop demand generally and very limited movement within the sector. That means that a lot of what is left in store is having currently to try and find another home, but there are some issues with that surrounding the amount of CIPC on the supply.
Okay, and those of you that listened to last week's podcast, you'll know that we produced some materials for those marketing direct to the public, and you can find those at ahdb.org.uk/potatoes. Okay, and if we move on to the retail sector now, and it's a very different picture there.
Yeah, the panic buying that we saw at the start of the month has translated into quite strong sales performance for both fresh potatoes and frozen potatoes through supermarkets. Fresh potato volumes are up around 27%, and we've seen frozen potato products up around 30% in terms of volume. However, moving forward, as panic buying has ceased, these are expected to return to slightly more normal levels for this time of year. But what it has had the effect of doing for the fresh potato sector is offsetting a lot of what would have been lost in food service, as this is pushed instead through retail as people bought them. We are expecting customers to work through stocks, so we may see it dip slightly moving forward. And generally, as people go into the shops less and have a bigger basket size, it's still expected to be fairly strong due to the fact that potatoes are such a staple food and are so versatile and have a fairly long storage time. For the processing supplies, even though we have seen this uplift in retail sales, realistically, it's not enough to offset what has been lost through food service. During the lockdown period, though, the likelihood is that there is still going to be strong retail performance for both of these products, given that we're expecting a very large increase in at-home consumption of meals generally. We're expecting around a 33% rise across frozen and fresh potato meal occasions during this time. And moving forward, retail performance is really just expected to be very strong.
Okay, and a lot of what you've just covered there comes from our retail analysis team. You and your team are on the phone every week to growers and buyers, and is what you're hearing from them reflecting what we're getting from the retail team?
I would say so, yeah. From our point of view, really what we've been hearing is strong retail performance and good demand for packing varieties at the start of the month. This is eased slightly as people have almost overbought and away and are working their way through stocks they've already purchased. But there is still good demand for packing, and we saw a quite large movement spike in terms of the WAPs. Volumes moving through the WAP samples are reflecting this in these weeks. Processing and chip shops, the picture is definitely less rosy. Due to the food service closures, we've seen very little moving on free buy for both of these markets. And while some people are trying to move and sell into fresh markets, obviously that's a limited choice for those who've applied CIPC to a lot of these products.
Okay, thanks, Aidan. We're going to go to Stu Baker now from our consumer marketing team. Stu, you've got stuff running all the while from our Love Potatoes website and across Facebook and Instagram. What have you been doing on there since the lockdown started?
We've taken a decision across all of our sectors, potatoes included, that we have reviewed our social media channels and the output that we put through those, essentially reviewing the content that goes out on the social channels to ensure that we are being very sensitive to the current situation, but also providing consumers with what they need at this moment in time. So we've reviewed the recipes that are being posted on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, so that the consumers, when they, as Aidan's referred to, are trying to get through their stocks of food, they've got recipes to hand that allow them to do batch cooking. It's giving them a lot of insight into best basics. We've had a huge spike in the number of people that are searching and visiting the website for very basic recipes that, you know, how to roast, how to fry chips at home, how to boil potatoes even, and also storing them when they are in the home. So I think we've kind of reprioritized essentially the message that goes out through our social channel and through the website, and some really positive results in terms of consumers engaging with those channels.
Yeah, I follow some of those accounts myself on Facebook and Instagram, and I saw the how to store potatoes at home posts got a huge number of likes and shares.
Yeah, it certainly has. We've seen over 10,000 likes and shares on social for something as simple as storing potatoes. So obviously people are looking for the advice, and we're in a prime position to provide that advice and inspiration for using potatoes in the home for consumers when they're looking for them.
Okay, great. So another thing you've got coming up, as well as the digital stuff you've just described, is some work with the Food Advisory Board. Can you explain that for us?
Yeah, sure. So the Food Advisory Board, and we've been working with them for a number of months now, and we've got a next burst of activity that's due to go out to media in the next week or so, focusing on health benefits of potatoes and obviously making sure that the message that we put out is in line with the content on social, that it's ensuring it's supportive and relevant to the current situation. We know that people have got varying experiences of what food they can get. And obviously, as I've touched on already, the content on social channels and what consumers are searching for online. So using this as another vehicle, essentially through PR, to give people inspiration, remind them that they can come find the resources and ideas for different ways that they can use potatoes that they've got in the home, but also backing that up with supporting information about nutrition and those health benefits through some of the Food Advisory Board members, explaining kind of the importance of obviously getting a healthy, balanced diet, getting the right nutrients and making sure that you've got a variety of nutrients over the course of this period.
Brilliant. Thanks, Stu. Final question from me then. All the teams are speaking to lots of growers and people in the industry, and a question we're getting is, are we planning to do a big consumer marketing campaign at the moment?
I think from our perspective is that as things stand, as Aidan's already spoken about, we've seen a huge increase in those meal occasions in home, and rightly so, the sales of fresh and frozen have reflected those increases. It's something that currently it's probably not a desperate necessity to be promoting something that's selling so well and above the average for retail and total grocery as a whole. That said, it is something that obviously we take a medium and long-term view on this as well. So with the Consumer Insight team, we will be monitoring those trends and those figures that come through related to consumption in home. And, you know, as everybody is in this current situation, we'll be constantly reviewing the state of play in terms of those retail figures and making sure that we are on top of those. And if the need arises at any point to be able to launch a promotional campaign, then we'll be in a prime position to do that.
Thanks, Stu. Thanks, Aidan. We're now joined by Sue Cowgill, Senior Scientist for HGV Potatoes, and Amber Barton, our Knowledge Exchange Manager for the East Midlands. Sue, I'm going to go to you first. How has coronavirus and the lockdown affected some of our services that come out of the research programmes?
Yeah, so as part of our pest and disease work, we normally have services that are reporting on aphid numbers. So that's the aphids that are important in terms of transmitting viruses, and also information about late blight. So where we are at the moment is with the aphids. In a normal year, we'd have two services. One of them provides regional information about the aphids that are flying. This is based on a suction trap network that's reported in Aphid News. And this system's not currently working to capacity. We don't anticipate that we'll get comprehensive regular updates, at least not in the short term, and that's just because the staff are involved in that are just not able to get into their lab. However, we support a second system which provides more localized info about aphid numbers, and this is based on the network of 100 yellow water traps that are spread around the seed producing areas. So that system operates by the host agronomist putting out the traps, empty them approximately weekly, and then they go back to FERA, who do the identification and put the information on a website that's freely available for everybody to access. That's the aphid monitoring site. And at the moment, that system looks like it's going to go ahead as normal. So far, about 50% of the traps that we would have out have been sent out to the host growers. So we're on track with that. And we're encouraging the people that are getting the traps to get them out 2 weeks before they anticipate emergence happening, just so that we're getting that early information about the aphid activity, because we've had quite a mild January and February. And so that's often a prompt for the aphids to be out flying early. So it'd be good to get as much information about that as we can. With the late blight, again, there's two services. We'd normally have the Fight Against Blight service, which people be probably aware of. That's where the blight scouts send in leaf material that looks like it's infected with blight. That usually goes to the James Hutton Institute, and they work on using DNA based techniques to look at the samples and say what blight genotypes are present. So, for example, is the 36A2 genotype in the sample? Currently, JHI is closed. So what's been put in place is an alternative system around the sampling. So the blight scouts are being sent out what are called FDA cards. It's basically a system where they compress the leaf sample onto the card, and then once that's been done, the sample's stable, so it can be sent back to JHI in the post, and it'll be stored until the JHI guys can get back into the labs and start processing the samples. So we won't, unfortunately, this year have the real-time reporting of populations that we aimed for in 2019. But I think it's still important we get those samples so we do get that national picture of what are the blight populations in 2020. And as soon as the guys at JHI can get back into the lab, they will start processing the samples and they will go up onto the Fight Against Blight website. The other service that people be aware of is the Blight Watch, which is the one that generates the hot and alerts, and we're anticipating that going ahead as normal. And in that case, it's if people are already registered on the system, just for them to go and check that the postcodes that they're using are still ones that are relevant to the crops. So it's a bit of a mix, but we are trying to keep information flowing with all the services. They are dependent on really specialist skills, you know, the researchers. So we can't guarantee if the staffing, you know, is affected because of illness that there won't be some delay, but we're hoping that the services can continue in some form this year.
Thank you, Sue. So a service of sorts they're running in both areas. If people want to find the information on that, they can go to ahdb.org.uk/potatoes. If you scroll about halfway down the page, you'll see a list of menus on agronomy, and there's a blight page and an aphid and virus page you can look at. Amber, I'm going to bring you in now, and I know you've been working hard on this because I've been in a meeting with you today. What's happening on spot farms across our strategic farm network?
Hi, Jimmy. Obviously, it's quite tricky at the moment, not being able to leave the house or have, you know, gatherings of people. The events themselves are still a bit up in the air. The different farms are doing slightly different things. We've taken the decision at Spot North not to have the events. We don't know whether or not we'll be able to have any of them anyway, but just not wanting to put the staff on the farm at any unnecessary risk, all those that would be coming to the events. And that means, obviously, it's got implications for the trials and the demonstrations that we'd be doing on the farms. At Spot North, we've taken the decision not to do any of the demonstrations because, obviously, we're not going to be able to demonstrate to those who would be attending the events, but we are still doing the trials that would be producing research that the industry desperately needs. So we're still going to be carrying on with the desiccation work, which is also going to be going on across the other spot farms. And we're also going to be carrying on with the maleic hydroxide application work.
Okay, great. So important subjects covered there. If you're a grower or someone in the industry and you want to get your hands on the results from those or observations as the season goes along, how do you think people will be able to do that?
So we've been working hard to find a plan because we still want to be able to present the information that we would have been doing anyway. And we're looking at whether or not we do a series of webinars throughout the season instead of the events. So running at roughly the same amount of time. And ideally, we'd want to be able to get some footage from the farms so that we could have that tied in with the webinar and show growers exactly what's happening in the field. So it'd be like being there, but obviously from the comfort of your own office. And then other than that, we're looking at doing some trial videos. So we go through the trials in more detail and make videos of them, have our speakers, our fantastic speakers that we would usually have, giving us a good talk and a good walkthrough of the trials. So although we're not having the events themselves for some of the farms, we should be able to provide something for the growers to be able to see throughout the season.
Thanks, Amber. So growers will be seeing you over the season, but it's just whether it's via a webcam or a video screen. Thank you very much both. And again, if people want to catch up with what we're doing, it's ahdb.org.uk/potatoes. Thank you for joining us this week. All the information we spoke about can be found at ahdb.org.uk/potatoes. And once again, if you have any concerns, please do contact us.